Today I'm going to talk to you about a subject that without it, there is no peace. It is a barrier to love. Without this subject, there is no grace. Has anybody got an idea what it might be? Radio, why don't you come on up here? That is exactly right. It has to do with forgiveness. And my reading, my first reading, comes from Matthew 18, 21 and 22. And to set this up, it's a conversation between Peter and Jesus. And you know Peter. He's kind of the guy that opens his mouth first and inserts his foot all the time, you know. And it goes something like this. Matthew 18, 21. It says, "And Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?'" Kind of being a smarty pants, isn't he? You know. "And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" So, are we supposed to count 77 times? No. Like Jesus is saying, if you do the math, you have to be forgiving somebody every hour. There's only 24 hours in a day. So 7 times 77, you know, you're going to be forgiving him over and over and over again for whatever. And forgiveness it's not easy. Forgiveness is for our own growth and happiness. You know, the thing about God is people who don't understand Christ and don't have that relationship with him, they think it's a bunch of rules that you have to follow these rules or you're going to hell. And that's just the way it is. But the truth is God makes these rules, the Ten Commandments, the rule on forgiveness. It is for who? It's for us. It's for us. If my brother sins against me and I do not forgive him, does that make God not God anymore? Does that have any bearing on his omnipotence? None whatsoever. God set this in motion for me, not for him. As always, God is always looking out for me. Forgiveness is a holding on, or unforgiveness is a holding on of hurt, pain, resentment, or anger, and it harms us much more than the person who is the offender. You know, it could be something as small as y'all ever drive in Dallas traffic and you're driving down the road and some guy cuts you off. And I'm not going to say something because I'm guilty of this. I've said a few things to that person. I know they can't hear what I'm saying, but if they could, there'd probably be a fight. Well, who's in control of that situation? Well, the other guy is. You know, he might cut me off in traffic. He may not even know he did it. And I'm over here busting a gut because of something that he doesn't even realize he's done. That's a small thing to forgive, but it's just an example how your anger can flare up on some little thing that doesn't mean anything. You guys, have you heard? Over the years, I've heard about churches splitting up over the color of the carpet. What are we here about? What are we here? Are we here about the color of the walls or the carpet? Or are we here to worship our God? I mean, come on, folks. Forgiveness frees us to live in the present. It allows us to move on without anger or contempt or seeking revenge. If you have a wrong done against you and you continue that unforgiveness in your heart, you are now living in the past. And you're letting your past dictate to you your future and how you think. And also, as if it's not checked, what happens? You end up, it starts to develop into hate. And hate, then you don't even think straight anymore. You can take a person, and you've seen this, especially in the political arena today, one person can't, when the other side hates that person so much that even if that person does anything good, they still can't find good in it. And that's on both sides of the aisle. It's on both sides in our leadership today. There is very little forgiveness in what, if they would look at each other and see where each other are coming from, and then at least have a common ground of good. But right now, it's just divided. It's just both sides can't see the good in the other side. And it's just a constant fight all the time. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Now, folks, that sounds like a commandment to me. God's telling us you must forgive. When I started, I said, I started praying about this, and God said, "You need to talk about forgiveness. There are so many people in our families, and even in the church, are broken from people not forgiving." And I started looking into the Bible and looking for passages, and man, I could be here all day. Forgiveness is a huge part of the New Testament. Jesus goes on and on about it. One of the things, how's the Lord's Prayer go, guys? This is how you should pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as earth has it in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors." And some translations have trespasses, some have sin, but it's all the same concept. Forgive others as God forgives us. So, when you don't forgive, what's it lead to? Bitterness, anger, resentment, a hatred, wrong thinking, and a lack of wisdom. What I mean, you can't see right from wrong. When the hatred starts to build, pretty soon you can't see right from wrong anymore. You're detached from God. Wisdom is a gift from God. Wisdom is a discernment of what is right and wrong, and what make good decisions. And when you allow unforgiveness to take hold, it develops into these things till you lose all wisdom. You don't think straight anymore. In Texas terms, you don't think straight. Recently, for those of you that don't know me, I've worked for the sheriff's office. And recently we had a homicide where a young woman was killed. And you guys probably don't know this, but the motive behind that killing was that this young woman and the man that killed her were dating several years ago when they were very young. And he strangled her, and she survived it, but he went to prison for 2 years for it. And in that 2 years in prison, he never looked at himself and his own actions and never forgave her. He just recently got out of prison and he saw her at a party. And that 2 years of festering, that he blamed her, he strangled her, but yet he blamed her for him going to prison. And it culminated into the brutal murder. He stabbed her over 15 times. And then threw her in a creek. That started with somebody not forgiving. Guys, look what's going on in the Middle East. Look what's going on. I went to a training back in after 9/11. I was the liaison between the Joint Terrorism Task Force in Dallas and Louisville Police Department. So I had to go to a lot of training. And some people from the Mossad, I don't know if you know who they are, they're with the Israeli security forces. were teaching courses. And during that training, they were showing us what they were teaching. The Palestinians were teaching their first graders. They were having them draw kids with bomb vests on and how many people they could kill. That's what they were training their small children. What's the Bible say about training your children up in the way of the Lord? Guys, that's our world today. So what is forgiveness? It is a conscious and deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment, or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing the offenses. Let me read that again. It's a conscious and deliberate decision. You must decide to forgive. You have to decide it. It's not going to come to you. What's our sin nature? Something we have to live with. Everybody in this room has to live with the sin nature. Isn't that right? What is our nature? In sin. Hit back. You hit back. Somebody does something against you, somebody slaps you in the face, you hit them back, right? And you hit them hard. Well, you have to make a conscious effort to forgive. And it's going to be a fight, because you're going to be fighting your sin nature. So we have to use the Spirit. It's your relationship with God, and you're allowing and submitting to the Holy Spirit to tell you to forgive, and submitting to it. And I'll tell you right now, it is not a light switch. Somebody wrongs you, and what about in the case of abuse of a child? A kid that's grown up in a house of physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. And that child grows up in that atmosphere. Do you think that they can turn a light switch off on and turn it off? Do you think that they'll ever be able to forget all the abuse that's happened to them? No. It's a process. I think it's why Jesus said 77 times. That means you have to continually have that spirit of forgiveness and try to accept what happened. When you talk about accept, when I say accept, is as many people who struggle with forgiveness have been given the advice that they need to accept what's happened to move on. The problem is terms like acceptance are fuzzy and mean different things to different people. Many people hear the word accept and assume that it applies endorsement and that you may somehow be okay what happened to you or justifying it. But acceptance does not mean endorsement or justification. Many people who are victims of an injustice are further victimized by being manipulated into believing that they are somehow at fault for the bad thing that happened to them. That's not acceptance. I can tell you from my experience that sometimes these children that are, and when I'm saying children, I'm talking even teenagers, that are victims of sexual abuse, you know, they are told it's their fault. It's their fault. This is your fault that this happened. And they come to believe it. I'm not talking about you accept it and say, what that person that did you wrong, you don't accept it and say, well, it's okay what they did. That's not what it's about. Acceptance means acknowledging that you don't have the power or control over the past. You cannot change the past. Okay? You have to accept it, that it happened. This thing happened. And your anger may be righteous. But you have to make that conscious choice to forgive. I didn't want to come up here and whitewash and say, well, you know, somebody did something bad to you, and so you just need to turn that switch and just forgive them. That's the way it goes. I think that's silly to say that. God commands us to forgive, and he also gives us a way to forgive through the Holy Spirit. It's a constant process of forgiveness. It's not just like you turn a switch off and now you're forgiven. You can't just forget the things that have happened to you. But you can forgive. And the highest form of forgiveness is grace. And that's when you're even willing to pay for what that person did to you. That is a true example of love. The other thing we need to be mindful of is forgiveness should not require reconciliation. Now, I would like to tell you that everybody who's harmed you or everybody who you've ever harmed will like to reconcile with you, and you guys come together and hug each other and say everything is going to be kumbaya, God's going to come by and everything's going to be fine. Because here's the problem with that. Are you in control of what that other person does? No. You're not in control. And some people don't have the advantage of the Holy Spirit. For you who are followers of Christ, you have the advantage of the Holy Spirit, of that submission to God. Some people that offend you do not have that advantage. And they may not accept your your reaching out with the olive branch, your reconciliation. So don't count your forgiveness on them reconciling with you. Forgiveness is a tough, you know, it's easy to say, but it's a tough subject. It really is. Forgiveness is not one decision. It begins with a single decision and doesn't end there. No matter how many stories you hear about the moment of forgiveness, realize that forgiveness is a process and a journey. And you got to work at it. Just like with our relationship with Christ, if you aren't working for your relationship with Christ, if you're not talking to Christ, if you're not reading His Word, that relationship is going to be weak. Lori and I have been married with 35 years. If we didn't have a conversation every day and didn't talk to each other, how much longer do you think it'd last if we just quit talking? Probably be good for a couple of days. But in the long run, what happens? The relationship breaks down. We don't realize we're not with each other anymore. It's the same with Christ. It's the same with God. When you quit talking to Him, when you quit allowing Him to be a part of your life, everyday life, and when you quit wanting to be and have that desire to be led by the Spirit, your relationship starts to fade and fade and fade, and you start going by the way of the world. And when it gets to some point where you can't hardly hear Him at all, you don't even acknowledge He's there anymore. And you start trying to live life how you think it ought to be lived, doing things the way you think they ought to be done. Well, I tried that for about 20 years, probably longer than that in my life. It didn't work out good. Hey, when I got praise and did something good, Eddie got all the credit. It was all Eddie. Boy, look at me. Hey, but when something went wrong, something went bad, guess who gets the credit then? Me. I'm still stuck with it, right? Instead of releasing my life to God and giving my anger and my issues to God and saying, God, I want to obey. It's so much easier, guys. He takes the load. He takes the load off. If you have somebody you need to forgive, let God take that load. He will honor that. He has told us in His Word over and over to forgive, and He will honor it if you just ask Him. He's there to help. He's there to empower. Your road to forgiveness is your own. Just like your road to your relationship with Christ is your own. Every one of us in here are a different place. Some are baby Christians or brand new, just trying to figure out what it's all about. Just started that relationship. I know when I first started my relationship in my adult, I say I had two parts of my life. One part, I was saved at a young age. I felt the Holy Spirit strong, but I didn't have an understanding. And I fell away. And I fell away for decades. And then my son came along, and I said, I've got to get that guy a moral compass. It's all about him, right? I take care of my son, which is here today. Thank you, son. So I said, well, I got to get him back in church. So I take, you know, church is where the moral's at, right? So I take and come find out God got a hold of me. And I started to come into a real understanding of what I had told him back when I was 12 years old. And I got rebaptized. I said, I want to do it again because I have an understanding, a really understanding of what's going on in my heart. And I tell you right now that I would not be able to forgive people the way I can now. Guys, and my son and my wife can attest to this. Back in my younger days, I would cut people to pieces with my mouth. I was very unforgiving. If I was at my work, I expected perfection. And I expected for when those officers were out there doing their things, if an officer messed up on something, I'd call them on the carpet right then and I'd cut them to pieces right there in front of everybody. I had great respect at the police department, but I wasn't liked because they know there's a hard case walking over there. You got, most of you didn't know me in those days. But some of my coworkers remember, hey, you remember when you told old so-and-so? Yeah. I'm not proud of that. And I took it like personal. Were they doing anything against me? And yet I feel offended if they messed up on something. You know what I'm saying? You see how silly it is? We're sitting there, we're starting to take count of what other people do to us. A lot of times it didn't have anything to do with you, but you took it that way. Hey, if you haven't been hurt in church yet, you ain't been going to church long enough. Right? We've got like close to 60 people, 70 people in here probably right now. All of us different in our lives, different in how we approach things. We do different jobs. Do you think we might have a difference in opinion on a few things? Folks, you're going to have a difference of opinion. And you might say something and you think it doesn't mean anything. But to the person that just heard you over here, whew, I can't believe they said that. My gosh, I don't. And then they go to the next person. Hey, so-and-so said, and it might even be out of context, right? And there is no forgiveness. One of the first steps, a good way to start with forgiveness is look at the other guy. What was he trying to do, he or she, trying to do when they said or did whatever they did? I firmly believe everybody in this room, under the sound of my voice, has the best intention for this church. They want the church to be unified. They want the church to be successful in reaching the lost, right? I believe that with my heart. But all of us may not see the same thing going exactly the same way. One person thinks we have to have this kind of program, and another person thinks we need to do it this way. Hey, that's when we have to call and have unity of spirit in that. Be free to open and talk to each other, and always with a spirit of forgiveness. Knowing that person, when they're talking to you and saying they want to do something a certain way, they are not looking out to damage you or to damage the church. They're looking to do what they believe God is leading them is the best way. And God has a way of bringing people together and making it all go in one direction. But we can sure get in His way. We can sure get in His way when we step up and start saying what we think. Eddie thinks it is blah, blah, blah. And some of us get a little headstrong and go, well, I think, and that's the only way we should. It's my way or the highway, right? And it starts to wear on people's feelings. And then if there's no forgiveness, what happens? Resentment, dissent. The unity starts to break up. So I want you to remember one thing. God said, love your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. In order to be first, you must be last. That means say what you have to say. It's important. But if God is not leading other people around you to go that way, be mindful of that. And have a spirit of forgiveness. Don't take offense. Now, there's four different types of forgiveness. Unconditional forgiveness is the highest type of forgiveness that we can offer someone who has hurt us, in unconditional forgiveness. When we forgive unconditionally, it means we stop basing our actions or thoughts and our feelings on what the other person said or did to hurt us. And we do not attach any conditions to resuming the relationship as it was before the hurt. That's a high form of forgiveness. And guys, the higher the form of forgiveness, the healthier it is for you. If you are able to have somebody do you wrong, and you are able to forgive them to the point to where you can rebuild the relationship, it is a high form of forgiveness. Conditional forgiveness is the second highest type of forgiveness. It's conditional, a way forward out of the broken place that requires constant maintenance on the offender's part and the constant vigilance on yours as the forgiver. That means you're expecting the other person to come into forgiveness with you or accepting the forgiveness, and that you have to continually forgive that person. You may have a person that just grates on you. And you can love people and not like them. Y'all know that? Does anybody not believe that? You can love and still not like. Maybe just the way, they have a way of grating on you. And do you think that person that grates on you, do you think that they're grating on you because they just want to get to you somehow and mess with you? Is it about you? It's not. That's just the way they are. You know? But you feel offended every time they say a word to you. You know, they talk to you, you feel offended. But you have to know they don't mean to offend you. And this is, it may take a condition where you're constantly, constantly forgiving that person over and over again just because. Another form of forgiveness is dismissive forgiveness. And this is whatever. You ever have somebody say that? Yeah, whatever. I had one of my employees tell me that last week. Whatever, okay. That makes me feel good. It's all resolved now. Yeah. If this type of forgiveness it's called dismissive, and I think you should dismiss it because it doesn't resolve anything. That just means that we're just going to accept that, we hate each other's guts and we're just going to keep on going, you know. And what's that going to lead to, ladies and gentlemen? Family? What's it going to lead to? It's going to fester, and it's going to become resentment, and it's going to become it could become hatred, you know, and you start going down the wrong path if you just dismiss it. I think that's one of the worst. I think it's meant as a slight anyway. Yeah, whatever. See the hand. Whatever. See the hand. Hey, we're not dealing with the problem now. You know, we're not dealing with it. So what's God say about that? No, God expects us to deal with our problems. And he expects us to, in a spirit of forgiveness, to deal with our problems. And a spirit of what? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and putting yourself last. Now, the highest form of forgiveness is grace. God's form of forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west. Now, there is, you do get rewarded on the other side, for your life of what you did and didn't do. But to get into heaven, and folks, your best day on earth, it'd be like the worst day you're going to have in heaven. So you make it through the gate because of what he did. The grace. God's grace. Grace, I say grace for last because it's the best. It's an entirely different order than the other three types of forgiveness. Grace is not ours to grant. It's God's. God is the ultimate forgiver. When I could sin against you, but at the same time, if I'm sinning against you, who else am I sinning against? Ultimately, my sin is against God. My sin is against God. But God says, because of my relationship with Christ and making him Lord of my life, all his forgiveness is in a state of constant grace. Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. It's finished. Do y'all know how powerful that is? How powerful in forgiveness that is? Guys, I don't care what you've done in your life. When you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is finished. It has been paid for. What you have done in the past and what you're going to do in the future, operate off of that. Operate off of what is coming, the life after. It's finished. He did it. Satan's beat. He has no control over you anymore. The only control Satan has over Eddie is what Eddie gives him. It's only what I give him. Grace is when, if you were to go before a Denton County judge and you just murdered somebody, and you go before the judge, and the judge has got, we have sentencing. They always have guilt and innocence phase, and then you have sentencing phase. You've been found guilty, and you get before the judge. On a capital murder, it's automatic life. It's either death or life. Automatic. And it's Jesus. God did it like as judge. He's sitting up on the desk up there, and the guy says, "Found guilty, you get the death penalty." And the judge says, "I'll do that. I'm going to take it for you. You're free. You're free, guys. You're free to act in forgiveness. He forgave you. He forgave me for all the times that I do. And every single day I mess up. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, oh, I'm so holy. If I wanted to have a really long sermon, we could talk about what Eddie does during the week. The things I say, the thoughts I have, the actions I take, that I have to every day and every night, every morning pray, God forgive me, and every night go through the list of things that I should have done or the list of things that I did do that I shouldn't have done and talk to God about it and ask for that forgiveness. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. You are a God that does forgive and his mercy is new every morning. And if he can do that for me, then I can do it for you. But he's a little better at it than I am. It might be a process. I may have to go through a process. And it doesn't mean you just go, well, you did this horrible thing to me. I forget about it. No, we can't forget. But what we can do is talk to God about it and give it to him and put it behind us. Let it go. Accept that it happened and let it go. I want to tell you a story about my personal life. My mother and her two sisters are all passed away now. And when my grandfather was fighting the war in World War II, my mother and her two sisters, my mother was an infant, and the two sisters are older, toddler, and a young child. Her mother, my biological grandmother, packed up with another man and just left the kids in the house. Just packed up and left, gone. The oldest, Sherry, went across the street. My grandfather's over in Europe fighting the war. She goes across the street and talks to a lady named Miss Alphen, and she says, the baby's crying. We don't have any food. She goes, well, where's your mom at? Don't know. It's gone. Mom just left. So my grandfather couldn't get back for another 2 years, still fighting a war. It wasn't back then. You went to fight a war, you stayed fighting a war until you got back. He came back from the war. He took the kids back. He remarried, and another woman by the name of Esther was my true grandmother. When I say true, I mean she was the one that was raising me and, you know, put me on her knee. But when my grandfather died, my biological grandmother came back into the picture. She showed up with her. She now has a new daughter. I have an aunt that's a year older than me. She had a daughter bought by this other man, and she wanted to be back in the family. My mother accepted her in that she would allow, would talk to her, but she never really forgave her for years and years and years. My mother was close to death, and we were talking about life and Christ and the things that God has done and how he blessed us. And that subject came up because it hurt her immensely that her mother abandoned her. And I said, Mom, you got to forgive her. You've been living like this. You've got to forgive her. And my mother and I prayed, and she forgave. And just before she died, my mom told me, you know what? That was the best gift you ever gave me. It wasn't me. I was just saying what was in the book, right? But that, she said, that was the best gift you ever gave me. Is I can go in peace and it's over. I forgave her. This is what I'm talking about. Ephesians 4. 31-32. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Just as he forgives you every day. Luke 6:37-38. Says, do not judge, and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The measure I use will be measured to me. And you can... You know, the TV preachers, they like to use that to tell you about, that's how you get money, right? You put your, give your money to God, just use my address, and God's going to press down, he's going to bless you. I don't think that's what God's saying here. He's saying, follow him, forgive and give and be loving, and the more love you give, the more you're going to receive. The more loving of a person you are, the more love you get back. Doesn't have anything to do with money. If you love money, I guess that's a good thing. The more money you give, the more it comes back. But just about loving people and loving God. And a direct barrier, a wall to that is unforgiveness. You cannot truly love without forgiveness. How can you do that? You can't. You can't. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Where was he at when he said that? He was hanging on a cross and dying. And he said, Father, forgive them. Us as men, if I was to hang on a cross, do I have the grace to say, forgive those people that are hanging me and putting me up there? But you know what? Jesus put himself there on purpose. You remember what Pilate said? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I can do to you? And Jesus said, you can't do anything my Father doesn't allow. I'm walking right in on, I'm walking myself right up to that end of that cross, onto that cross. And he did that for me, and he did that for you. If you're here today and you don't know in your heart that you're saved, and you're not sure how that works, how to give your life over to Christ, I invite you to speak to anybody in this church to save. I will talk to you. Mark will talk to you. Anybody, Harry will talk to you. We want you to come to a realization of just how loving God is and how you come into that relationship with him. I'm going to have a prayer of invitation. Or what's our song today, Harry?